blessing on the offering as well. Father, we love you, and Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us today. Lord, it's been a great day. Thank you, Lord, for the service this morning. Lord, thank you for allowing Otis Nixon to come and be with us. Lord, what a blessing that was. Lord, thank you for all the visitors that we've had here today. And God, we just praise you for that. Now, Lord, I pray that you just be in the service tonight. You know exactly what is needed. Lord, some are not here with us tonight. Some traveling. Lord, some not feeling well. Lord, we pray that you'd be with all those. Lord, I pray now that you'd bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. You know, Lord, what we need. Lord, I pray again that you'd bless the service tonight. Well, thank you for it all. In Jesus' name. Now you know who's been teaching David how to play all these years. Hey, give me an F key. Sing this with me. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to
authority, for kingdoms as far as eyes can see. In royal robes they rule from thrones, waging wars they overthrow the weak and call it victory. My king is known by mercy. My king is known by grace, for the hope in his name and the power that saves. My king is known by the cross. My King is known by an empty grave and all that he does. My King is known by love. I can almost see him even now, rejected with thorns upon his brow. What kind of king would leave his throne and make my sin and shame his own? Yet he gave his life for me. He gave his life for me. My King is known by mercy. My King is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My King is known by the cross. My King is known by an empty grave and all that he does. My King is known by a love that welcomes everyone as his daughters and his sons, and no one is ever turned away. My King is known by mercy. My King is known by grace. For the hope in his name and the power that saves. My King is known by the cross. My King is known by an empty grave. All that he does, my King is known by love. He's known by his love. And all that he does, my King is known by
thank the Lord for his love. Amen. This is the month of love, February. And we love him because he first loved us. What a blessing tonight that God would love us. And I don't know about you, but me being one who got into a lot of trouble growing up and rebellious, and like Brother Otis was talking about this morning, that was my story, drugs, alcohol, oh goodness, the list goes on and on. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what a blessing that he would love me and love you. I do want to mention a couple of things right quick before we begin the message tonight. I do want to say it's good to have Brother Wesley and Sister Evelyn Hutchins with us in the service. And been missionaries for some time now. Before, they were missionaries in Jamaica. How many years were y'all? 26 and a half. Amen. Hey, record every day, every month. 26 and a half years there in Jamaica. Now, they're church planters, Northwest church planters, and doing a great work with that, Macedonia World Baptist Missions. And so we appreciate what y'all do and the time spent on foreign soil, brother. We really, really appreciate that. And Calvary's been supporting their ministry for a number of years, and it's just so good to have our missionaries come in and pass by from time to time that we support. It's just such a blessing. blessing to see in person. I do request a special prayer tonight. I got word this morning that Brother David Smith, our people know David Smith. He's out of Pisgah, Alabama, I believe it is. And his cancer has come back and it's aggressive. So I received that word this morning. He's still coming. He's scheduled to preach in our Jubilee here in just a few weeks on that Tuesday night. And he's still coming. He's supposed to have a back operation as well. Of course, they put that off to at least after Jubilee time. But remember, Brother David, when you pray. Also remember Brother Ceylon as he continues to get better. And again, we have many others on our prayer list. Just grab a bulletin. That way you can stay informed on that. All right. The book of Psalms tonight, Psalm chapter number 3, if you would. I want to be here for just a few moments. In the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 3. And I know it's Super Bowl Sunday. This has been a sports day all the way around. And I promise you I'm not going to preach an hour, but, you know, saying that, I just might. So we're just going to leave it to the Lord this evening. And I do have something I want to share that hopefully will be a blessing to you in your walk with the Lord. Psalm chapter number 3, and let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we will introduce the subject matter tonight. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you, Lord, for eternity that we could spend with you forever and ever and ever and ever. Thank you for your love. Lord, just thank you for today at Calvary, everything that's been said, everything that's been done. Father, the direction we're heading in as a church, we're so very thankful. I just pray for the next few moments you would touch my mind mentally. Pray for a clear head and a calm heart. God, all I want to do is be used tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would communicate the truths of your word to the hearts of your people. And by the time we leave tonight, I pray that we'll be a little closer and we'll see your direction just a little more clear. All these things we ask in Jesus' name with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Psalm chapter number 3 tonight, we have the inscription underneath the chapter here, Psalm 3. And the Bible says the inscription here is entitled A Psalm of David. A Psalm of David. Of course, we know that David wrote several psalms, most of the psalms in the book of Psalms. But it's a Psalm of David, and more specifically, this was written by David during the time when Absalom, his son, rebelled. It's a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And Absalom was after his dad's crown. Those that read the Bible and study the Bible know that Absalom was after his dad's seat, was after his dad's crown. And to make it even worse, he was after his life. Can you imagine that? A child coming after you, not just to steal your position in this world, but to take your very life. Can you imagine the heartbreak of David? Can you imagine the betrayal that took place in the heart and mind and life of David? The thoughts that he was thinking. You know, tonight, betrayal is a terrible thing to say at the very least. Jesus was betrayed. Many others in the Bible were betrayed. Have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever experienced the hurt of betrayal? The hurt, the emotion that goes along with a betrayal can be traumatic. It can even linger in your spirit for a long time if you're not careful. And even if you're careful, the trauma that follows betrayal can linger and last. And you can battle with that in the area of forgiveness and forgiving others. And so we see tonight that this was David's emotions in Psalm 3. What he felt, what he experienced during this time, what he went through and what he did. We do know that This particular story is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter number 15, just for reference tonight. But we know that David left Jerusalem in haste. He was running for his life. And so he penned these words in his flight when he was hiding, when he was trusting God and he was waiting for the storm to pass. David found a place in his darkness and wrote down Psalm chapter number 3. And so that's kind of what's going on here in this psalm. And if you notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah." I want to call your attention this evening to verse number 1, if I could, for a few moments. And I want to call your attention to one word in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me?" The word "trouble" tonight I'm interested in. The word "trouble" here, it means tight place. It means crowding or crowding out. It can also mean anguish or anxiety. So with that said, tonight I'd like to preach for a few moments on this thought: being in a tight place. Being in a tight place. Anytime we go through a hard or difficult experience in life, it can feel like we're in a tight place, can't it? Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of experience claustrophobia sometimes. I don't like being in tight places. I get nervous and I start to sweat and get worried being in a tight place. So I try to stay out of physical tight places. But in life, when we experience hard and difficult times, it feels like we're in this crowded out place or this tight place. We experience anguish and anxiety and sometimes even fear. The mental anguish, the anxiety we feel can be a very real and debilitating experience. Those who suffer from mental illness and tragedy, even PTSD and all of those things, know exactly what I'm talking about. The mental anguish, the anxiety, and all of those things are real issues that we face when we go through hard times. We can be in a tight place tonight financially and have to go through the ups and downs and the woes of finances. We can be in a tight place physically when we're back and forth to the doctor's office and there's something wrong in our bodies and we're just trying to figure out what's going on. Brother Don, amen to that. Been going through a lot of that. We can be in a tight place tonight mentally where we're trying to push through and we're trying to carry on, yet we have some mental hang-ups and setbacks. We can be in a tight place spiritually where we're not where we exactly want to be spiritually. We want to have more victory in our life. We want to walk with the Lord a little closer. And so we can be in tight places in various areas in our life. We can be in tight places in our marriages. We can be in tight places in our homes. And I want to say this, young people can be in tight places tonight. Young people can be in tight places. Places of anguish, places of anxiety, these tight, difficult places at school. And even with some friends, you can be in a difficult place. Thinking about your future and relationships, young people experience tight places as well. places where they struggle, places where they have fear and worry, anxiety and anguish. Those things are very real, not just in middle-aged or older people, but young people as well. Being in a tight place, we all have been there before. So we see that the stress and anxiety that goes along with that is very real, and we must deal with it. So the question tonight is, how did David deal with his tight place? What did David do when he was betrayed by Absalom, his son? What did he do? How did he feel? That's the kind of questions I want to try to answer tonight. So tonight, the Lord willing, I want to go through these verses line upon line and look and see what we can learn and relate to. Number one, in verse number 1 and 2, we see David's increasing trouble. His increasing trouble. The Bible says in verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Look at verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. That word Selah means just think about what we just said or what was just written. And so we see David's increasing trouble. Absalom's crowd grew. His crowd grew. Absalom, back in 2 Samuel 15, verse number 4 and 5, in that chapter in its entirety, we know that Absalom offered justice to all who had a suit, had a problem. He was one who complained about the government, and he offered justice for anybody who needed justice. And we know that ultimately Absalom stole the hearts of Israel. And we have this increasing crowd that is going from David, from dad to son, and all the people that are now following Absalom have this hatred against David. And because of these things, David fled from Jerusalem. It was the increasing trouble in David's life. Anybody here tonight have any trouble going on in your life? And it just seems like it's one thing after another thing. You try to put a bow on this, and something else pops up over here. You try to put a bow on that, celebrate that that's over with. Something pops up in front of you. You try to grab that thing and strangle the life out of it and claim a victory in your life. But it's one thing after another. And listen, that is being on planet Earth. We will have trouble and we will have struggles, and they are relentless at times. Not only do you got car trouble tonight, but your refrigerator's messing up. Not only is your refrigerator messing up, but your dog's not getting any better. And not only is your dog not getting any better, there's problems at work, your wife's job, your spouse's job, there's problems down at the schoolhouse, and you wish you could say, well, hold on, car, just don't break down just yet. I got to deal with my refrigerator. And listen, those of us who have homes and have refrigerators know that's not a cheap fix. Huh? Anybody? That's not a cheap fix. Hold on, car, let me deal with my fridge. Hold on, refrigerator. I got to deal with getting my dog better. Y'all think I'm crazy about dogs, but hey, I'm a pet lover, so you're just going to have to get over it. Okay. Hold on, dog, don't get sick. I got this thing over at the schoolhouse with my child I'm dealing with. Hold on, schoolhouse. I don't need no problem from the schoolhouse. We're praying for my wife at work. Trouble after trouble, wave after wave. These things happen in our lives. But not only that, but notice verse number 2, what the enemy said. Many there be which say of my soul, this is the enemy's commentary on my life, there is no hope or no help for him in God. The enemy is saying against David, you're going down and God don't care. God don't care about you. God's not listening to your prayers. There is no help from God for your life. You know what the enemy likes to do in the midst of your troubles and mine? Oh, he likes to prance around and he likes to say, oh, you go to church and you say your prayers, you give tithes and offerings, you do all these things for the Lord, but just know, big boy, you're going down. There's no help for you from God. Am I the only one that deals with things like that? Am I the only one where it's not when I feel strong and I'm on cloud nine and I'm on the mountaintop and listen, doing everything in the world for everybody? It's not then when the devil attacks me. He attacks me when I'm down. He attacks me when things aren't going right. He attacks me when I'm juggling all these troubles, a professional juggler. Anybody tonight juggling troubles? Then the juggler, he goes like this, he goes, and he catches one in his mouth. You know, we try to deal with our troubles and we try to deal with our struggles and all of that. Things are not going to slow down and things are not going to stop. And certainly the assaults and the fiery darts of the wicked one is not going to slow down and stop. He's going to get you when you're trying to do great things for God. He's going to get you when your resolve is to be the best parent you can ever be. He's going to try to get you when your resolve is to be the best spouse you can be, the best worker on the job you can be. The devil likes to get you when you got a lot of troubles going on. So we see tonight David's increasing trouble in verse 1 and 2. Many there be that rises up and has rose up against David. Notice something else. In verse number 3, we see not only David's increasing trouble, but we see David's guard. David's guard. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. There are churches that sang that verse as a chorus. I've heard it, and it makes me want to sing it right now. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. David said, in the midst of my troubles, I have a guard. Jesus is my safeguard. Notice the word shield here. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. The shield would protect vital organs such as the head and the heart. They would have a helmet. And you hear in Ephesians, the Bible talking about Paul speaking of the helmet of salvation. And then there's the heart, the breastplate of righteousness. You can go through and there's all those pieces of armor named, but the shield here is just basically a piece of armor that protects vital organs. But also in other places in Psalms, David speaks of the buckler. And the buckler is a small shield that attaches to the arm and it clamps down. And the purpose for the buckler is that when the enemy is attacking with swords and spears, they put that arm up and that buckler blocks every attack. So you and I are here tonight and we've got troubles, we've got dilemmas and problems. The devil may be even beating you up. I don't know. But we're all called upon. And the Bible tells us that the Lord is our protector. He's our shield. Every time that the devil comes throwing his darts, trying to use his sword upon us, all you need to do and I need to do is throw up that buckler. Throw up the buckler. The Lord is our shield. He's our buckler. When the enemy attacks us, we use the buckler of faith, the shield of the promises of God against the enemy. The enemy says you're going down. The enemy says you're not going to make it. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Bible says that Jesus is a very help, present help in times of trouble. The Bible says he will never leave me nor forsake me. And so when the devil says that I'm out and I'm down for the count and Jesus don't care, I can put up that buckler and say, you are a lie, devil. He is always here with me. He'll never leave me, never forsake me. And the devil says, big boy, old boy, you can't do that work as a pastor. I'll throw up that buckler and say, well, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Tonight, some of you need to throw up the buckler to some of the lies of the devil. He says you can't. You tell him you can. He says you won't. You tell him you will. If God has called you to any specific place in ministry, then hang your hat on that call. Because God's the one who allows you to operate in that ministry.
God's called you to be a spouse, to be a dad. You can be a wonderful spouse, and you can be a great dad, great mom. You're a grandparent tonight. God has called you to be a grandparent. There's grandkids in the family. You can be a great grandparent tonight. You can be a great worker on the job tonight. You can do all these things and accomplish much just by taking the Lord at His word and using that buckler. Are you being hit tonight with trouble? My suggestion is throw up the promises of God and hide behind the promises of God. You're here tonight and you're suffering with some kind of mental anguish and you feel like you're going down, financial struggle, physical pain, whatever the case may be, throw up that buckler. Listen, you throw that buckler up, you're going to feel the pressure. But you won't feel the pain. Isn't that what pain medicine is? Kind of takes the edge off. You may feel the pressure from what's going on in your body. But when you take a pain pill that the doctor gives you, you may feel the pressure of it, but you're not supposed to feel the pain of it. I want to say tonight, we're going to feel the pressure from the enemy. We're going to feel the pressure from the demands of people. We're going to feel the pressures of life. But we hold up that buckler and God can protect us through His promises. Amen. So tonight we see David's guard. David's guard. Not only do we see David's guard in these verses, David's increasing trouble, but in verse number 4, we see David's prayer. David's prayer. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill, Selah. Pause. Think about what was just said. David's prayer. David was a man of prayer. In times past, God heard his prayers from that place of worship. All the prayers that David prayed in the place of worship, God's house, the Bible says that David said that God heard those prayers. No doubt God heard the prayers. God seen with his own eye the fight with the lion and the bear. No doubt God heard David's prayer with Goliath. Goliath came to him with a sword and spear, but David came in the name of the Lord. And we know that God answered that prayer with Goliath. In all other battles, God had heard the prayers of David and intervened in David's life. And so this was encouragement to David's faith now while he was running from his son Absalom because of what God had done in the past. It encouraged his faith now. Notice what we're talking about. Notice what the scripture says, the flow and what we're talking about. David says, I cried. I believe he's reflecting on times gone by. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. So we see that God has answered prayers in David's life. And this is encouragement for the time he's going through now that God would intervene. He heard then, he'll hear now. And of course, the Bible says, Selah. Think on that. Think on that, church. Selah. Has God helped you through any situation in life? And I'm sure, I know he has. Think about the worst time in your life that God saw you through. Selah. You were ready to give up. You didn't think you could put one foot in front of the other. But you wrestled. You prayed. You agonized. You begged. You pleaded. And now you're here. And that was last year when you didn't think you'd make it. But now we're in 2024 and you're still here. Selah. Think on that for a minute. Because that was something God brought you through, but now you got something new. What about the trouble now? Selah. Think about what you thought that was going to get you and wash you and trash you. But God heard your prayer. No, you didn't feel any fuzzies. No, you didn't see any pie in the sky. You didn't think you could make it one more step. You were sweating, you were agonizing, you were praying. Yet God got you through. That's the power of prayer. We don't always feel the sun shining on us, and we don't always running through pasture fields with daisies. Oh, Lord is good. Hey, there's times for that. Don't get me wrong. But most of the time, it's agonizing. It's wrestling with God. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah, think about that for a minute. God helped David in the past, and no doubt David is crying to the Lord even here and saying, God, you did it before, and Lord, you could do it again. Amen on a Sunday night when Otis Nixon was here this morning. So we see David's prayer. David did more praying in this chapter. Verse number 7, he says, Arise, O Lord, as if God was laying down or asleep. Save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Strong language, isn't it? Excuse me while I have a little conversation with the devil. Devil, be looking for a right blow from my God this week. Right on your cheekbone. Amen. Listen, the devil lost his fight at the cross, but he still rants and raves and tries to get us in types of bonds and addictions and struggles. He tries to beat us down, but praise the Lord that he was knocked out by God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Given reference to a beast. Anybody deal with any human beast? Oh yeah. Listen, they're everywhere. They got them fangs out. Justin, come here for a minute. CJ. Like a beast. I believe it was Paul that said, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. Talking about the wild just nature of men that's brutal. The enemy tonight is relentless. Yet David prays as though God is sleeping. He knows he's not, but he says, Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Verse number 8 continues the prayer. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. God, deliverance is only going to come through you. I've tried friends. I've tried doctors. I've tried therapists. I've tried shrinks. I've tried the best of people that give counseling. They can't help me in my situation. God, true and real deliverance comes from you. And I want to say, by my own experience and still learning, when I get to a place of total dependence upon God where I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried this, the woman with the issue of blood, I've tried all things, but nothing better. When you get to that place, you better believe you can call on God. You say, I don't like to be at that place. I don't like to be at that place. But when we are at that place, we are in position to call on our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will hear us. He'll hear us. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The energetic prayer, the prayer that has enthusiasm, the prayer that isn't rushed, the prayer that isn't prayed. Now, let me now say, praise the Lord, my soul to keep. The prayer isn't, thank you, Lord, for this food, bless the Lord. All, you know, rushed prayers. The Bible says the effectual, fervent, the energetic prayer, the times where you crawl in your prayer room with no strings attached, nothing rushed, phone on silent, turned upside down, in the kitchen with the door closed, and you're in your prayer room. Amen. Praying and connecting with God. That's the kind of prayer, praying that I'm talking about. And especially when you get to hardships where you feel like you can't go on and you're in a tight place, call on God. Call on God in your tight place. call on God for those who are just surrounded with anxiety and fear and worry. Call on God in your moment of despair. Ask God to help you. And He will. And listen, I'm not saying that call on God and don't even try going to a doctor. Go to the doctors, but also call on God. And when the doctors say there's nothing more they can do, well, that's when that prayer becomes effectual and fervent. And we really connect. David's prayer. Has God helped you in the past? Selah, verse 4 says, Selah, think about it. He will help again. David's prayer, but then what about David's rest? That sounds good, doesn't it? Look at verse number 5. I laid me down and slept. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. I'm only 41, about to be 42 in April. And listen, I prefer the day than the night, I'll tell you. I just do. I envy people. I shouldn't envy nobody and nothing. Let me back up. I don't envy, because that's just a phrase many people say. Shouldn't envy anybody or anything. But I really wish I could sleep all the way through at night. I do. For some reason, I pop up. I pop up. I'm fully awake. You know what I got to do? I make my way to the living room. Most of the time, I end up on the couch anyway because Christy sleeps well. I don't. Don't want to wake her up. We don't need two people operating as zombies during the day. And so turn the TV on. Fall back asleep. Go to sleep. Wake up again about 2 hours later. Turn the TV on. Watch another episode of Dateline NBC. First 48 hours. I love that stuff. It helps me go to sleep. Am I weird? Crime stories help me go to sleep. I just wish that, and I've been working at this my whole life. You say, well, go to a doctor. I have. That's just my lot in life. I struggle through the night. I prefer the day. What a blessing, though, we see in the pages of God's Word, where here's a man that was betrayed by a son. Son was coming to kill him. He said, I lay down and went to sleep. What a blessing. He said, I awaked. He didn't die during the night. Nobody came in and killed him. He didn't die from anxiety. He didn't die of a heart attack in his sleep. He awaked. For the Lord sustained me. The words sustain me, or the word sustain me, means to take a hold of. Take a hold of. David found rest at night because the Lord took a hold of him. David allowed the Lord to take a hold of him. And because of that, he slept. Let us rest in our trouble by laying ourselves and our dilemmas in the arms of the one who wants to sustain us. Give it to me, Alan. You're tossing and turning. Just give it to me. Jeff, give it to me. You're up all night. You're tossing and turning, and you've thought and meditated and just bent your brain thinking about the solution, and you're back at square one and lost a whole night's sleep. Just give it to me. Easier preached than lived, isn't it? But David says that I let God take a hold of me, and because of that, I laid down and I slept and I woke up in the morning to face the battle one more time. David found rest at night, even during difficulty. In the time past and the present as well. Many in the Bible, if you remember, have went to sleep while experiencing grief. Elijah went to sleep while experiencing grief, called down fire on top of Mount Carmel, but then he ran from Jezebel, ran from her, and he was even despaired of his life under a juniper tree and wanted to give up and wanted to die. He was experiencing great grief. Then you remember Jacob when he was running from Esau, and he found a place to lay, and he lay his head upon a rock, and he slept all night with his head upon a rock. That's when he had the vision of the ladder from earth to heaven, angels descending and ascending. That was Jacob's ladder, the vision that he had. But the point is that he had a night of rough sleep. He had rocks in his bed, so to speak. Anybody ever have rocks in your bed trying to sleep? Even Jonah, when he rebelled, slept on the ship. The disciples slept. During hard times and great difficulty, you and I tonight will toss, we'll tumble, we'll wrestle, we'll have our moments trying to go to sleep, up, down, in, out. But at the end of the day, the Lord wants to sustain us. And I'll just even say, even when we can't give it to the Lord, He still sustains us. You know, there's some times in life where I feel that I have a hold of God. But more so than none, I feel and I'm thankful that God has a hold of me. It's great, it's grand, it's glorious when I feel like I'm accomplishing a lot and my prayers are prayed, my Bible is read, I'm studied, ready to go, been to the hospital, taking care of things at the church, moving forward, left, right, up, down, in, and out. That's great. I feel like I got God. I'm, you know, just ready to move on and march forward. But those times are great. But the times that are even better than that is when I feel like I don't have it under control because I know God has me in His grip. Thank God He has us in His grip tonight. And this is David's rest. David's rest. But then let me mention one more and we'll be through. David's prayer. David's rest. David's increasing trouble. David's guard. But then David's courage. David's courage. Look in verse number 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. Now that's a lot of people. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Now, that's a pretty big statement to make, that you're not going to be afraid of 10,000s of people. Some say that's just a figure of speech. Well, I think this really shows the kind of courage that David had that he got from God. David had leaned upon his past experiences. That gave encouragement to his faith now. David gave his situation to his God, started to make poetry out of it, Psalm 3, so that it might benefit others, and it did. And now David has an element of courage that only comes from the heavenlies. And David says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. I want that kind of courage, don't you? Sometimes it don't take but one situation to knock me off my feet, and I'm ashamed to say. Sometimes it don't take one person and one negative comment that challenges my walk, and that shouldn't be that way. I want to grow. I want to move forward. I want to be able to throw up that buckler and say, I will not listen to that, devil. Yes, there's things going on, but God promised He'll see me through and He'll provide. I just want to be a better Christian tonight. I want to be able to move forward in faith, reflecting on what God has done and looking forward to what God will do. Again, tonight, being in a tight place. Is that you tonight? Are you in a tight place? You can come tonight and speak to the Lord. Do business with Him. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We'll give a verse of invitation. David's increasing trouble, David's guard, David's prayer, David's rest, David's courage. That's Psalm chapter number 3 tonight. If you need to come, you come while we play and sing or both. Start the week off the right way. Sing along. Are you in a tight place tonight? Don't feel ashamed or embarrassed. This is why we're here, to get help.
That'd be enough singing tonight. Thank you all. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for listening tonight. Been a good day here at Calvary. And let's remember all these prayer requests that we've mentioned. Grab a bulletin if you haven't already, and to stay up to date what's going on. Again, we got a full calendar, a lot of things going on, but let's just pray for one another. And again, it's so good to have the Hutchins pop in on us tonight. And all right, we got some prayer cards for them and their ministry, and so we'll have those available. Please come by and get one, and say hello to our other missionaries, and that'll be great. All right, anything else to mention before we go? All right, well, we'll be dismissing a word of prayer, and everybody just have a great week. I tell you what, I want to ask Brother Hutchins if you would. You want to close us out tonight, Brother?